Theodore Roosevelt once said, "The most important single ingredient in the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people." Hi, this is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at West Valley Christian Church. Relationships can be the most wonderful thing in the world, and they can be the worst thing in the world. We are built for relationship, and throughout life we need to grow in building healthy ones. In this series, we will be looking at the Bible to understand how to have healthy relational practices. We hope you enjoy.
I was spoiled this morning when I was getting ready. I was listening on practice, and I had to get out of my office and come in here, and I was like crying. I mean, God bless America, amen? And we are so fortunate to live in this country. Even with some of the craziness that's here, it's still an amazing country. And I have to ask, can I see this hat? Like, Rolando, like, have you seen this? Like, is that like one of the... It's like we got the flag right here, and then I don't know. I don't know if the Rice family just came from the gym or, man, you guys are looking good. It's fun. Fun. I know a lot of you guys are dressed up. We said Hawaiian or red, white, and blue, so thank you for doing that. I want to just shoot straight with you as we continue our series called Roadship. There you go. Relationship. Road trip. And, you know, I shared last Sunday that, you know, the previous week had been a hard week, and that's okay, you know, we always have those ups and downs, all of us, but, you know, that day, last Sunday was long in a good way. We had both services, and immediately following that, we had a couple-hour elder meeting, and then after that, we had a worship experience and also a time to honor the Matsumoto family, so it was a good day, but it was long, so by the time I got home, it was... turn on the Dodger game and just veg, you know, and Easton was here with the youth group and Lisa was gone doing something, and so it was just nice, but that meant for an early night, and what that also meant for was an early rise on Monday morning, okay, so I'm up like 4 o'clock, like, all right, what do we do now, you know, kind of thing, and eventually I got up and I just decided to get ready and get out, so I made a decision that I hadn't done this in a long time, but just with everything the previous week and that day, I was like, you know what? Mondays, usually I'm in the office and meetings, phone calls, and I also start preparing or at least start studying for the sermon. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do something I haven't done in years. I am going to go to the office. I'm going to get all my books, my paper, my notepad, my beach chair. And I'm heading to the beach. So that's what I did. Monday morning, I stopped at Starbucks, get my drink, sandwich. Next thing you know, I think I'm at the beach about 8 o'clock. I got my Dodger sweatshirt on, still a little cold. And I open up my notebook, like I do every Monday, to see what I'm going to be preaching on. And I see, I kid you not, the title is... Toes in the Sand. Like, God works in mysterious ways, amen? I mean, have you experienced that before? Like, I am in my beach chair laughing. Nobody's there, you know? And I'm just laughing, going, you got to be kidding me, because I had no idea. You know, I had planned that, you know, back in March. I can't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So I'm sitting there in this chair, and then I look down, and I see that I'm supposed to be continuing the series on relationships, talking about wisdom and gentleness and perhaps generosity. But God did something different with me, with my toes in the sand. And so I changed the entire sermon, and you get to hear it today. Father, thank you for doing different things in our lives that we're not expecting. And God, thank you that I was open to hearing how I needed to do something different. God, there are so many people here and across the nation that are listening. We just ask for a covering over each and every one of them as they delve into, or as we delve into your word. Give us the message that we need to hear. Help us to own what it is that we need to own, and help us to listen, perhaps in a way that we've never listened before. Help me, God, through your Holy Spirit, to communicate your truth today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So there I was in my beach chair, toes in the sand, blanket off to the side with all my books, and I'm ready to go after this. And as I told you, I kept fighting this, you got to change it up. And eventually, God won. And so I get to share the fruits of that. So as we talk about relationship, we also talk about this whole idea last week that it's a road trip, right? And sometimes road trips are good and sometimes they're bad or sometimes they're hard. And we know this. So with relationship, I want to do this. If you're taking notes, which I believe you should be, write down number one, and it's simply review. Because I think it's really important that we understand why we're doing this series. And I'm just going to shoot straight. After last week, there are tears in both services just everywhere and on the stage. And that's part of what was on my heart with my toes in the sand on Monday, because I'm like, man, this should probably be a 10-week series every year. Because relationships are so beautiful and they're so hard, right? And we're all trying to navigate them. So last week, in review, I said this. We are built for relationship. Can you say that with me? Built for relationship. God created us in his image, and he wants us in relationship just as he wants relationship with us. But then I told you, as we unpackage this, that communication is key to a healthy relationship. And I gave you three components. I told you there's content, and I told you there's tone, and I told you there's nonverbals. And of the three, what holds the most percentage of weight in conversation? Nonverbal. Like it's like ridiculous, like 57% or something like that. So we talked about communication. And you and I know communication is so wonderful and so hard at the same time. You understand this at home, yes, that are watching. But I wanted to go to a whole nother level, and I want to focus on the 7%, which is the actual content. And so we learned that the tongue is what? The tongue is what, church? The tongue is powerful. And so I concluded the message with this whole idea. Because it's powerful, we need to use it well. Powerful means that we looked at scripture and we saw that it could be used to give life and it could be used to shoot poison or take away life, yes? And so we talked about that in great detail, some ways in which we shoot poison. Unforgiveness, blame were some of the poisons, gossip, and then some of the healthy ways is encouragement and kindness, and then we kind of, you know, sharing God's word. Those were some of the positives. Listen to the message again if you need to or for the first time. They're always, you could always find them online. So what I want to do today is this. And now write this down. This is number two, and this is the point. If you don't hear any words, you need to hear these words. Ready? You are valuable. Can you say that with me? You are valuable. Now, I want you to personalize this. Use the word I. I am valuable. Now, I'll say it like you mean it. I am valuable. Now, here's what's happening. Toes in the sand, and I'm trying to talk about wisdom, and I'm studying that, and God says, I don't want you to share about wisdom. I want you to share your wisdom. And that was rough, because I had all this good, you know, I could give you all the words and all the passages, especially in Proverbs, talks about wisdom, right? And wisdom in our relationship. But God says, no. There's something that you believe, Rob, that you've had to learn yourself, that you need to press in to the people that are listening. And it's simply this. You are valuable. You're valuable. And why I say that is, think about this. One of the passages we looked at last week, and we look at it all the time, and we said this in our staff meeting, we talked about this. Repetition is necessary in the church. Repetition is good in the church. By the way, it's good in your home also. But look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 is why the church exists. You hear it all the time from this pulpit, and you're going to hear it, continue to hear it till as long as I'm here. And it's simply an answer to a question to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Now let's read this together, verse 38. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Ready? Let's say this with passion. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's say that again. Love your neighbor as yourself. Our God is a relational God. He wants relationship with him. He wants us to have relationship with others. And here's something we don't hear often, but he wants us to have a relationship with ourselves. He wants us to love ourselves. He wants us to see that you and I are valuable. And part of why I'm so passionate about this and why I want to share this is because I believe, as I'm arguing with God on the beach, like, this has nothing to do with relationship. He says it has everything to do with it. Because if we don't see ourselves as valuable, we're not going to see other people as valuable. And we are not going to have healthy relationships. We're not going to respect each other. We're not going to love each other. We're not going to care for each other. And you fill in the blanks. And this, you've heard this many a times from me. I believe if we don't love ourselves, it's going to impact our love for God and others. And so as I'm thinking through, not just this past week, not just this past month, not just this past year, but really ministry, you know what most of my time is spent doing as I reflect? It's spent trying to convince you that you're valuable. And a lot of times in my own life, I have to spend time convincing myself that I'm valuable. And I know some of you are like, oh, come on now. Now you're all pointing to self. Now you're sound like one of those, you know, self-help people. No. I'm sounding like God, I think. I'm not God, but I'm speaking on his behalf to let you know that you're valuable. Your life matters. So I ask this question, how do you see yourself? Like when you look in the mirror, how do you see it? Not the pimple that's there that you wish it wasn't. Not the thing hanging out of your nose that you wish wasn't. Not the wrinkles, you know, not, get out past all that stuff. How do you see yourself? I was reminded of something really special this morning. So you guys know my son is a fireman. And so he has to work today. And I didn't know this was happening, but I woke up. It's getting ready, and I come out into the bedroom, and there's my granddaughter. Yay. So Taylor's about 3.5 months. Drew had dropped her off on the way to work, and there is this precious 3-month-old. And I'm just looking at her, like, I need to get to work. But I'm just looking at her, and I'm holding her. And she's precious, like perfect in Grandpa's eyes. Not a flaw. And the skin is so soft. And she is in an incredible, she's just smiling and talking and Googling and just, and I'm just like, I gotta go, Taylor, I gotta go, but I can't. And I'm just looking at her eyes and they're just locked in. And she smells so good. And I'm just reminded. As then an hour later, I'm in my office looking over my sermon going, wait a second. God gave me that moment too. Because that's what he thinks about me. That's what he thinks about you. You and I, we see all the flaws. We know all the mistakes, with the deficiencies, all that stuff. And this is what we see. And we chalk ourselves off as bad, bad, bad. God, I picture God holding me and seeing me like I was holding little Taylor this morning. My friends, you are valuable. Amen? Not just because Pastor Rob says it. That's whatever. God says it. Look at his word. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, 13. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my what? In my mother's womb. I praise you. Check this out. I praise you, David says. I praise you because I'm what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Friends, do you know that full well? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, 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 you know the messiness of your life. Yes, you know the messiness of your thoughts. Yes, you know the messiness of your past. Yes, yes, yes. And people have reminded you of that sometimes. Yes, yes, yes. But let me tell you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God Almighty. And don't you forget that. The passages are just continue. Isaiah 43:4. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give you people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Why? Because you're precious and you're what? You're precious and you're honored. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you and not to what? Not to what? Not to harm you. Plans to give you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Plans to give you what? Why? Because he loves you. Because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Because you're valuable. I am not going to harm you. I plan to give you hope and a future. Ephesians 2, for we are God's what? We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Are you taking this in? Because I already know some of you are going, ha-ha, that's for everybody else but not me. That's for everybody else but not me. No, it's for everybody. And those of you listening at home, it's for you too. You are valuable. I am valuable. And if we could see ourselves as valuable, don't you think that would affect our relationship with others? But I think a lot of times we don't see ourselves as valuable, therefore, if we don't see ourselves as valuable, we don't see you as valuable, and why not steal, kill, and destroy? Why not gossip? Why not slander? Why not shoot poisonous all over the place? Because everyone's shooting poison at me, I'll shoot at them, and the strongest survive. That's not what this book is about, is it? John 3:16. If you're not convinced yet that you're valuable, let's read this. For God so loved the world. Let's stop right there. For God so loved who?
The world.
The world. Do me a favor. Put your name there where it says world. Let's say this out loud again. Ready? For God so loved Rob. Oh, I didn't hear it loud enough. I didn't hear it. I don't think you're convinced. Let's do this again. For God so loved Rob. Do you believe that? You see, it. You are valuable. If you weren't valuable, God wouldn't love you, and he certainly wouldn't continue that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. My friends, you and I are all that in a bag of chips, not because we're all that in a bag of chips, because God made us in his image, and he says we're all that in a bag of chips. We are valuable. Have you gotten the point across, or have I gotten the point across? You see, remember last week I said this, and I say this all the time, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people don't see themselves as valuable. So they're constantly, constantly going after other people. I'm blown away and yet not blown away at just the stuff I'm aware of that goes on in people's homes. Especially in context of marriage where two people love each other and have made a commitment, and the poison that is coming out of people's mouths towards one another. My simple conclusion is this: the only reason that is happening is because people aren't seeing themselves as valuable, and therefore they're not seeing others as valuable. You could argue with me on that, and that's fine. I'm right, you're wrong. Just kidding. You remember the story last week, the woman caught in adultery, John 8? Let's go there. John 8. Let's revisit this. Woman caught in adultery. We don't know her name. We just know her sin. We always say this. Isn't it ironic that it takes two to commit that, but we only see one of them there. Verse 3, chapter 8, John, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, and we talked about blame last week, right? Blame leads to shame. Teacher, oh, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Bum, bum, bum. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? And you continue reading it on your own, but you're going to see this, that Jesus comes alongside of her. Why? Because he's saying what you did is okay? No. He came alongside of her because she's okay. Because she's valuable. The sinner is more important than the sin. And he loves her. Now he corrects her and he tells her to go on, and you read the story. But you know what I find interesting is the crowd. There's something in them that had to, you know, holy and righteousness, bring her before and be really ready to stone her. And so what I would say in light of what we're talking about here, I don't think they valued themselves very much, do you? I don't think they valued themselves very much. That's why they were quick to elevate themselves above this woman and justify why they could kill her. Please stop devaluing yourself, which leads to my last point, which is the third point, which I find really funny as I had my toes in the sand. I'm like, really, God? Come on. The third point's this, self-care. Now I sound like some psychologist on TV. I almost used a name, but I won't. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess. So I've never heard self-care until I think it was around 2 years ago. And now it seems like that's all I hear, partially because it's probably what I need to hear. Honestly, Pastor Kirby, he's listening. Thank you, Pastor, because he's been one that's been saying that to me. You got to take care of yourself. But to me, here's the real honest answer. Some of you are just like this right now. Self-care, that's for a bunch of wusses. Self-care. Softies, self-care. Everyone wins a trophy. Rah, self-care. Okay. There's extremes to this, right? So that's where I was. Because partially, you know, I'm not from the generation, but I saw my grandpa work real hard. I saw my dad work real hard. I saw my mom work real hard. I saw just work hard. When you're tired, you just work harder, right? Come on. Yeah, you work at the same company for 50 years and you get the gold watch at the end for giving up half your life, you know? But that's how you do it. You just keep going. Well, you know this. The truth is you just keep pushing something long enough, it's going to blow, right? You drive. How's that going to work for your car? So what if that check engine light comes on? Just keep going. So what if it says you need oil? Just keep going. Well, eventually that thing's going to blow, right? So we pay attention to our cars and understand the damage it's going to do if we keep pressing, but we don't do it with our own life. So here we go, self-care. And I want to read to you something out of a book, straight from the book by Gary Smalley. It's called, the book is DNA Relationships. I think I quoted it last week. But he gives a visual that really helped me. It says, what good is self-care? Picture yourself as a large battery. You got that? Random. Picture yourself as a large battery. Pretend you have two terminals on the top of your head. Like, that gets better. And several sockets on your side where people could plug into you to get their needs met. You get fully charged as you carefully maintain those top terminals and get regularly connected to God through them. If, however, you allow anger or resentment to corrode your supply line to God, or if you get so busy caring for others that you forget to connect regularly to the power and the wisdom of heaven, what happens? You soon become a dead battery of no use to anyone. Good self-care ensures that your power levels stay high, making it possible for you to continue to what? Does that make sense? Loose translation, you can't give more than what you have. And some of us, that's why you're here today. Because you're just worn out. You're just worn out. And what, how, let me ask you this. How are your relationships when you're worn out? How's your tolerance? How's your patience? How's your kindness? How's your forgiveness? How's your, how is it? In my world, when I have nothing to give, don't get around me. Because what you're going to get is throw up. What you're going to get is blah. You're going to get the bad part, not the good part. Some of us, this is exactly what we needed to hear today. That, and I think it goes in order. That's why I did it in order. If you see yourself as valuable, then you will take care of yourself. If you don't see yourself as valuable and just disposable, you're not going to take care of yourself. Amen? You can't give what you don't have. When we are empty and drained, we are not at our best. This definitely has an impact on how we relate to others. Less patience, bitter, angry, short-fused, mouthy, rude. The list goes on. The potential for shooting poison goes really up high, doesn't it? My other problem with self-care is it's selfish. I used to go, suck it up. You know what? Suck it up. Selfish. But then you read scripture and you find out it's not selfish to take care of yourself. Do you believe that? Or do you need to be convinced right now? Because I'm ready. Self-care is not selfish. So what does it look like? Matthew chapter 22. We've read it over and over again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I think that's a good place to start. And this is all aha moments as my toes are in the sand, and now there's people starting to climb onto the beach, and the family of 15 that literally parked their whole world 5 feet from my towel. Like, God, I'm trying to do self-care right now, and I'm trying to think and study. So I nicely just picked all my stuff up and moved it somewhere else. And again, this whole idea of self-care, and God says, here it is. Your heart, number one, your heart. We need to take care of our heart, and that equals spiritual, spiritual. I see my heart as spiritual, which simply leads to this question, are you connected to God? You see, if you and I aren't connected to God, good luck. I don't have anything for you. Good luck. If you're using drugs to get through, if you're using alcohol to get through, if you're using sex to get through, if you're using success to get through, or if you're using your kids to get through, or if you're using media, whatever it is, good luck. But here's where we need to all start. If we want good, healthy relationships, we need to start with a relationship with God. Peter's asked, who do you say I am? By Jesus Christ, right? In Matthew 16:16, Peter's response is, you are the Messiah, you are the living God. That question is asked of all of us, by the way, okay? Every one of us in here, this question is being asked of you. Who do you say Jesus is? I think there's three answers. One is, yes, you are Jesus, the Son of God. Two is, no, you are not Jesus, the Son of God. And the third one is, let me wait till I get married, have two kids, a white picket fence, and a dog named Fido, then I'll ask or answer that question. By the way, number three and number one are the same answer. I'm waiting, and no still means no, okay? So have you said yes to Jesus? And if you haven't, please say yes to Jesus. Get connected to the ultimate power source and the one who knows how to do relationships like no other. Amen? I love this quote, slow down to catch up with God. Some of us need to slow down to catch up with God right now. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How many of you have ever heard of the name Dallas Willard? Dallas Willard, okay, there's a few of you. Phenomenal. Phenomenal guy. Passed away a while back, a USC professor, theologian. There's a book called Soul Keeping, and it's by John Ortberg. I want to tell you something. I have been highly recommended this book. This book was actually given to me. I've skimmed through this book, so I have not read this book. But I leave Tuesday for vacation. Yes. And this is going to be packed because I want to read through this book. But the very beginning of it, it's funny. The very first paragraph is about Box Canyon. Are you kidding me? Like Box Canyon. Who knows Box Canyon except for you guys? Because we're right here. Dallas Willard used to live there. And Dallas Willard, I want to quote him. Dallas Willard said this. He says, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual life in our day. Make the important urgent. Make the important urgent. Are you taking care of your heart? Secondly, your soul, which equals emotional for me. When is the last time you've checked your emotional state? Emotion drives choices, habits, patterns, and our attitudes. Some of us are emotionally drained. We're worn out. We're ready to throw in the towel. Tiana said it. We're about, a year and a half into this thing called the pandemic, it has worn a lot of people out emotionally. And I would say you need to check yourself and see where your heart is because that dictates how you're going to relate in relationship. The truth is, it's not easy to gauge that ourselves, is it? So maybe you need to ask a trusted loved one to say, how do you think I'm doing emotionally? Part of that is slowing down the soul. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and what did he do there? So Jesus slowed down. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he what? He rested. And then it says in verse 3, then he blessed on the seventh day and made it holy because on it he what? Rested. If the Son of God and God himself, they rested, don't you think you and I ought to rest? Don't you think we should take care of our heart? And don't you think that we should take care of our soul? Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, it says, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left his place and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus saw the importance of taking care of the soul. You got Mark 6:31, that because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some what, church? Go get some rest. Some of you are ready for a nap, amen? Matthew chapter 11, 28, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. See a theme? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? You will find rest for your souls. You're going to find rest for your souls. How are you doing with taking care of your soul? How are you doing emotionally? I love Psalms 23, 1 through 3. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. And what does it say next? He refreshes my soul. I see my buddy, Alan. Alan, I've gone to Samoa a couple times together, so I've been there about 10 times. But Alan, you know the village where we stay, right outside of it is that freshwater pool, right? And it's maybe the size of the stage from here to there. So you got the ocean, then you got this freshwater pool. When you work vacation Bible school in the humidity of Samoa and the heat of Samoa, usually in July, and you're running around and you're doing a medical clinic from 6:30 in the morning till about 5 o'clock, you are done. Every part of your body hurts, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you are worn out. But I love this one village because you know where I'm going, Alan. We would throw on our suits and you would just jump into this ice cold water and it numbed you immediately and it felt so good. That's what it's like to go jump into the arms of Jesus that Matthew 11 talks about. He refreshes our soul, which leads to our mind. Mentally, how are you doing? How are you taking care of your mind? Are you doing a good job? Are you paying attention to what's going into your mind? You know what they say? Garbage in? Garbage in? Yeah, some of us are so stinking consumed with our phones that we're missing out on relationships around us. Some of us are so consumed with seeing what the latest thing on the news is that we miss everything that is around us. And that stuff that we're putting into us is almost as deadly as meth. Really? You said that? Yeah. You know why? Because I am telling you this for sure. The last year and a half, I have had to talk so many people, Christians, off the ledge. And every one of them, the source was the media that they were watching. I said to every one of them, why don't you spend some time in the Word and turn off that TV? And I said nice to most of them. How are we doing with our mind? Colossians 3, 1 through 3, since then you have been raised with Christ Jesus. Set your heart on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ Jesus. Where is your mind today? Philippians 4, 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You only dance to the music that you play. Whatever we're putting in here is coming out here. So we ought to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our hearts spiritually. We need to take care of our soul emotionally. We need to take care of our minds mentally. And I'm going to close with this. And this deserves a whole sermon on itself. Actually, all of them do. We need to take care of ourselves physically. 1 Corinthians chapter 19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your what? So I have a question for you. Are you taking care of yourself physically? I don't know about you, but I wish my dad would have taught me the older you get, the harder it is. Right? Like, the hair leaves your head, comes out your ears. Like you should do all the push-ups early in life, because if you don't, it's a lot harder to push up. Right? You go from bouncing out of bed to strategically thinking about which part of your body is going to get out first, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, and I tell my boys, I'm like, you know, Drew, you want to go down a mountain, you know, and go boulder to boulder and all that dumb, crazy, stupid stuff. And, you know, you're going to pay for it. You're going to feel every one of those bumps when you're 50. Actually, you'll feel it when you're 40. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, I mean, that doesn't mean don't have fun, right? But you have to take care of your body. And then physically, I'm awful at drinking water. Right, Rachel? I'm sure my wife's told you that a few times. She's told me nicely. I don't drink anything. But water's, So my wife's always on my case nicely. But I'm just awful at it. But I made a commitment without telling her. That's the best way to do it, just by the way. Because then you're not held accountable. Sorry. The last 2 days, not even thinking about this message other than I need to take care of myself, that's one way, is I did 70 ounces on Friday and 65 yesterday. That's over 100 more ounces than I would have drank. I kid you not. And so I'm really working hard. I'm really working hard because I know it's only getting harder, right, the older I get. So I need to start now some things to take care of myself, on top of other things I've already done. Does that make sense? When you're not physically feeling well, you and I suck at relationships. Okay, well, do you want me to keep putting my toes in the sand and writing messages? Because that's what happened. It's not my fault, but a little bit to chew on this 4th of July weekend. You're valuable. Self-care. Father, thank you. Help me. Because I don't do good in all these areas. I don't know if I do good in any of them. But I know this, that I'm valuable, and I need to pay attention to all these areas. I pray this for my life and for every person that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, Lord, your
tender mercies and your love.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at wvcch.org, or you can join us live in one of our Sunday services. Have a great day.
And your love that you've always shown me. You forget all my rebellion.